Good morning and welcome to Grace Chapel. Thank you for joining us this morning. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
I see the Lord, and he's seated on the throne, the train of his robe is filling the heavens. I see the Lord, and he's shining like the sun, his eyes full of fire.
Before you today, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for showing us all the things that are around us every day, the things to remind us, Lord, that you are the Lord and that you made all things that are around us. We ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and you allow us to see your word today as it comes forth to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
the Lord a cheer. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's turn over to Psalm 103. And this follows along with one of our songs that we sing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them which fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower in the field, so he flourish. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenants, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over them. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments and hearken unto his voice, unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. There's a lot in there. And I'd suggest everybody read it again and go over that one and study it. The thing that we always have to remember is that we are going to make mistakes. We are going to do things that we shouldn't have done. We are going to sin because of the sin nature that is in us. This flesh is sin. And there's no way around it. But through the love of Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven of those sins. We can walk on this earth and we can do service for Him and work for Him and love Him and show Him our love by walking as He walked. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome. Glad to see you guys here and welcome to those folks listening online. Just wanted to mention something. I know a lot of times folks tend to think that they're not noticed, tend to think that, you know, why am I even trying? You know, nobody notices. Doesn't matter, right? I just wanted to mention that, you know, over the last week or two, I've noticed a few things. I've seen some folks take some steps forward. They weren't giant leaps. They're steps forward. Now, you string together enough tiny steps, and you can get somewhere. So just, I noticed. That's all I wanted to say. This morning I woke up and I had this sort of illustration in my head about oil and water. Right, we know that they don't mix, right? If we took a soda bottle, Coke bottle, filled it halfway with water and halfway with oil, and we sat here and we shook it as hard as we could, as soon as you stop, what happens? It separates, right? Well, the same is true of the kingdom of God and the world. They don't mix. Now, we might need to be in this world But we don't need this world in us. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us where we stand in relation to the world. And it says, "Now when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, we're told that we are citizens and members of God's household. We're no longer citizens of this world. We are the citizens of the kingdom of God, working as his ambassadors in this world. We need to focus more on God and less on the world. But to do so effectively, we need to really believe God and not just think that we do. All right? I remember when I was in school, I had a physics professor, and he was teaching us about the law of a pendulum. Right? We know what a pendulum is. It just kind of swings back and forth. And the thing is, when you start a pendulum swinging, it never quite goes all the way to the end, right? It always is a little bit further in. And what he did was he had the chalkboard, and he put a rope on top of the chalkboard, and attached to the rope was a baseball. He explained the law, you know, to us, and he said by a show of hands, you know, who believes that this is true? You know, everybody raised their hand, right? So he says, okay. So he takes the baseball and pulls it over to the side and puts a little mark over here. And he lets it go. And it swings over and comes back. And where it stops, he puts another mark, and et cetera, and et cetera. So what you see is a whole bunch of marks heading towards the center, because it never quite made it out to the end. And he says, all right, so y'all still believe, you know, the law of the pendulum? Oh, yeah, everybody raises their hand. He says, all right, well, come with me. So what he does, he takes us down to the auditorium. And in the auditorium, you know, there's lots of seats and a great big stage. And what he had done before class was he took a rope and connected it to one of the rafters over the center of the stage. Attached to that rope was like a 100-pound weight. And way over to one side of the stage, there was a chair, just a folding chair sitting there. Right, and he asked for a volunteer, and, you know, a young man volunteered, and he went down, and he said, well, come over here and sit in the chair. And, okay, so he sits in the chair, and he asked him, he said, you still believe this law, physics, right? And the look on his face, he was starting to question it a little bit, you know what I mean? Because now he's right in the middle of it, but he says, Yeah, I believe. So the professor, the teacher, grabs the weight and walks it all the way over so it's right next to the guy, right on his shoulder, almost to his ear, right? And he let it go. And that weight went whoosh all the way over to the other side of the stage. And then whoosh, it's coming back at him. And I don't think I've ever seen a kid move that quick. Boy, he was jumping out of that seat, getting out of the way. He thought it was going to hit him. Now, did he believe or did he just think that he believed that simple law of physics? I mean, the law says it's not going to come to the same point, right? It's going to fall short. And in order for us to be real Christians, and in order to receive eternal life, we must be real believers. We must have that burning desire in our hearts to be with Jesus, to know more about him, to seek him, to desire him in our lives. It's sad, but there's far, far too many Christians who have the same faith as that kid that was sitting in the chair. They think they believe. They say they believe. But when push comes to shove, they get out of the way as fast as they can. Now you remember when Peter told Jesus he would follow him to the death if necessary. Well, a few verses later, Peter denies Jesus three times, one of which was a little girl. Now, Peter thought he believed, but when he was pushed, he just collapsed like a house of cards, just fell apart. Now, thankfully, Peter did finally get it right, and he was a mighty ambassador for Jesus. Likewise, each of us can, should, and I hope will do likewise.
Praise God. That ended it kind of quick.
Really?
Yeah.
The ending of that
was just kind of Melanie, before you sit down, would you please come up here a minute? You know, the object or purpose of the fisherman ministry is not to build a congregation of pew warmers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's to do what Jesus said in Matthew. Teach all nations to do what? To become disciples, to become ministers. Because God calls us all to be ministers. He doesn't call us to sit around and look stupid. And Melanie has been growing. Kind of like start, stop, stop, start a little bit. But she's been growing and she's come to that stage now where we're recognizing her as a licensed minister. So we want to welcome her into the ministry, and also means we'll give you more of our time. You want to say something?
Thank you. Thank you for the recognition, and I hope that as a minister of the Lord, I'm actually out there being a minister of the Lord and be pleasing to him. That's it.
Amen. Well, she proved that a couple weeks ago. Give her a cheer. The whole idea is to grow. My topic today is going to be out of John chapter 1, verse 17. I'm not going to take a long time. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Simple statement. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, He created mankind populated the earth. And then he made a garden eastward in Eden, and he formed a man. And the man he called Adam. And Adam was under a state of innocence. He only knew good. He did not know evil. And God had put a tree in the midst of that garden. He put two trees in the midst of that garden. One was the tree of life. The tree of life was the gospel and truth. It was Jesus. But he had another tree there, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. That tree was the law. And God had told Adam, you could eat of everything in the garden but that one tree. Now, when the time came that Adam was tempted of Eve, I think and I ponder, why would he ever choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil over the tree of life? Why would he do that? And yet we do it every day. Every day of our lives, we're still doing it. We choose every day life or death. And most people choose death. And it's a sad thing. Abraham did not have the law. It was not given at that time. But Abraham had a conscience, and he lived by that conscience. And one day he woke up, and he saw the living God. And God appeared to him. And he believed God. And because he believed God, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. See, when you take of the tree of life, it's because you believe God. When you take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you don't believe God. As Scott was saying a little bit, a lot of people say they have faith. And, you know, I have faith, amen. I believe God is a healer. I've seen him heal many times. But you know what? I'm just like you. Oh, I can say, I have faith and I believe. But what happens when you get an illness or something happens? What do? Do you stand on that belief? Do you walk in that belief? Or do you run to the doctor? When you run to the doctor, you're denying the truth. You're choosing the law over the truth. The law was given to show us why we need Jesus Christ. The law was given to show why we fall short of the glory of God. The law does not give us the glory of God. It shines God's light on us to show us our sin and our nature to not believe. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in totality and give our lives up solely to Him, to believe on Him, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what we hear, then we walk in that grace and that truth, which is Jesus. The grace is not so that we can sin continually, But the grace is there so that through the truth, as the truth makes its home in you, you cease from sin. You hear what I'm saying? You stop doing the things you used to do. If you were a whoremonger, you stop being a whoremonger. If you were a thief, you stop being a thief. If you were a liar, you stop being a liar. If you were a hater, you stop being a hater. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the grace is that boat that God gives us to get there. It's to carry us through those rough seas and those rough times to get to the other side. It's not meant to be anchored where you started at. It's not a party boat. It's transportation through the sea of life and through the dangers. So as you go forward and you learn that truth that is in Him, you become more and more like Him. Things that used to make you angry, you don't get angry at anymore. Things you used to hate, you now love. Things you used to love, you now hate. I heard a preacher say one time he was talking on a tape I heard. He was talking about some guy that was walking down the street, got hit by a bus, and was late for a party. And when he showed up, the guy said, Why are you late? He said, oh, I got hit by a bus. He said, you don't look like you got hit by a bus. You know, if you get hit by a bus, you're not going to look the same. You're going to look a little different. There's going to be a change in you if you get hit by a bus. Amen. Don't come to me in a three-piece suit and a bouffant hairdo with all your teeth in your face telling me you got hit by a bus. I'm not going to believe it. Amen. Don't come to me and tell me you've been hit with the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ and have received the fullness of Jesus and have given your life to Him and you still do and look and act like you did in the past. Somebody said to me one day, I say somebody has been said many times, preacher, you turned me off. I didn't know. I don't turn you off. You ain't never been turned on. Once you get turned on by Jesus, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't get turned off. It don't happen. It's like getting hit by a bus. There's a change. You're not the same. But where the bus is unto death, when you get hit by the gospel, you get hit by the truth, you get hit by God's grace, you get hit by Jesus and the Holy Ghost, there's a change in you. There is a change in you. You may not look any prettier. God knows I don't. But you don't want the same things you wanted before. You change. It has always been my message, my desire, is that people receive the goodness that is of God. And it's so easy. You just gotta decide you want it. And then take it. You take it. And if your man and you're married and your wife don't want it, you take it anyway. See, that was what Adam's problem was. He had a choice to stay right with God or do what the woman said. And he did what the woman said, and we're all paying for it. Now, I know there are women out there going to hate me for saying that. And you know what? I really don't care. Truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. If Adam really loved that woman, if he really cared for her, he would not have eaten it. Because remember, nothing happened when she ate it. It happened when he ate it. And the men in this world, and sorry to say, some even in this ministry, are still letting the women rule over them. They're letting their children oppress them. And they're destroying the ways of their past. Go read in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. There is a way. It is a simple way. And that is to choose between the law that Moses brought, or truth and grace that came by Jesus. Who will you serve?